Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad that you're here. Glad we could gather together to worship the Lord Jesus this Lord's Day. A couple announcements. I don't know. I guess I want to mention the rain. We're talking about Noah and the flood today, and it just feels kind of like, man, if it kept throwing rain, what would happen? I'll tell you, though, it doesn't get any wetter than sitting through soccer games on Saturdays. That's wet and very cold, very cold. But glad that God gives us what we stand in need of. Couple of things, you know, of course, we're celebrating our graduates today, and we recognize the accomplishments that they've made, the work that they've done. We're mostly celebrating our young people and connecting with them and trying to show them our care and our support and our concern for them. And so we celebrate Chantel and graduating high school. We celebrate Chelsea and her accomplishments. Kylie, I saw her and her accomplishments, and also Amber. So we're celebrating these accomplishments. Let's give them a hand, our love and support, shall we? So if I fail to mention it later, we'll have cake after the service and downstairs in honor of Chantel and supporting her. So everyone's invited downstairs to a time of fellowship for cake being served there. We also are celebrating God's goodness this week. Kendall and Bonnie became grandparents once again, you know, so Sophie Jo was born on Monday, and we celebrate that. I don't think they're here today, but let's celebrate the new life. And then the Rylersdams are here with us, and our hearts were joined together with them this week, Nathaniel and the scare that brought, and so we just rejoice in the fact that God is provident over our lives, right? We pray, we call out to Him, and He hears our prayers, and He answers us. And so let's celebrate that, shall we? I know many of you have asked about Joanne. Her test results came back earlier this week on Monday, and those were really good and positive. She did end up going into the hospital this week, and she returned home, and she's doing quite well, and she's managing and continuing to look for answers for the health concerns that she has. So you can continue to support her. I know Dorothy, I heard, had a checkup on Thursday, and I believe she's still in the hospital in Slayton. She plans to come home soon from her hip surgery. So those are just some updates on some of the concerns of our church family. But friends, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The maker of heaven and earth. And God is the Lord over all His creation. When we hear the flood story, we hear this clearly, that God is in control over all of creation. Hear this word from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 5. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Our God is a God of the heavens and the earth, both the sea and the land. He's Lord over it all. And when we come before this God of all creation, we bow down before Him in worship. Let's worship our God now by singing together number 154. We bow down. Let's stand and sing.
Lord of my God,
We bow down before the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and as we bow down, we submit before him, God raises us up. He raises us up in his love, his care, his grace. He showers us with it. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you extend a hand of greeting to those around you? You want to turn to your hymnals to number 54. You'll find the words there, number 54. Go ahead. There it is.
Thank you.
I want to read a scripture for you before we turn to the prayer. This is a scripture we'll be hearing again in just a few moments. It's Genesis 6, verses 5 through 6. It says this, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." There's not much wiggle room in there, is there? He saw that the thoughts of the human heart were only evil all the time. And he regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. His heart was deeply troubled. God has given of himself to correct this issue. He sent his only son to die, to make pardon for our sins. God has done all he can do. The very least we could do, the very least we could do was to reflect on what we've done, what we've committed, to show some remorse, to show some measure of repentance, of turning away from the wrong that we've committed and turning to God and crying for his help. He's good. He's ready to forgive. And so we need to come to him in prayer and confessing of our sins. So let's turn to the Lord and let's confess together our sins in the prayer that's printed in the order of your worship. Let's pray. Merciful God, you made us in your image, with a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and a will to serve you. But our knowledge is imperfect, our love inconstant, our obedience incomplete. Day by day we fail to grow into your likeness. In your enduring love, forgive us through Jesus Christ our Lord, and make us to be righteous in your sight by the power of your Spirit. Amen. And hear this word then from Romans chapter 8. This is from the Message version. It says, "So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way." This word gives us unwavering confidence in our connection with God. There's nothing to fear. There's no doubt that God will come through for us. We can face anything with God on our side. I think of Noah, we're thinking of his story. All the opposition he must have faced, the challenges he must have faced, but to obey, to have courage, to follow God right where he was leading him. We have unwavering confidence in God's connection with us, his love for us. So people of God, believe this good news and live into its peace. I want to invite Missy and Joe to come up. We're going to sing a song now that kind of has the same kind of spirit about it. Whom shall I fear? With God on our side, what do we have to be afraid of? So enjoy. You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Amen. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis 6, I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 22. This is page 9. Page 9. In the pew Bibles. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind from whom I have created from the face of the earth. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it, and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to make every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yeah, I asked them to stay up here, because when I hear the story of Noah, there's a song that I still have kind of ringing in my heart, and maybe it's a song that you all know, something we might have learned when you were little kids. So I'm going to ask that you embrace the kind of joyful side of your spirit at this very moment, and invite you to sing along if you know the song. And if you know the actions, nobody's going to keep your hands from moving this morning, okay? So if you know the actions, go ahead and sing those along with us. This is Rise and Shine. You guys ready? All right, the Lord told Noah. The Lord told Noah there's gonna be a floody, floody. Lord told Noah there's gonna be a floody, floody. Get those animals out of the muddy, muddy, children of the Lord. Ready? All right, here we go. So Noah, he built them an arky, arky. Noah, he built them an arky, arky. Made it out of hickory, barky, barky, children of the Lord. Rise and shine, oh, rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. The animals, they came on by twosies, twosies. Animals, they came on by twosies, twosies. Elephants and kangaroosies, roosies, children of the Lord. It rained and poured for 40 nights and daisies, daisies. Rained and poured for 40 nights and daisies, daisies. Nearly drove those animals crazies, crazies, children of the Lord. So rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. One more verse. The sun came out
and dried up the landy-landy. The sun came out and dried up the landy-landy. Everything was fine and dandy-dandy, children of the Lord. So rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord.
All right. Give the Lord a hand, huh? Here we go. Hey, you did pretty good. Nancy was leading that clap at the right time. That's good, because we can't quite figure out where to put that, but that's a good thing. There's some joy in that song, but I want to contend just a little bit. At the end of the song, it kind of says, everything was fine and dandy, right? We just had the whole earth covered in a flood. Everything was destroyed. Everything's fine and dandy. You know, the song, while I love it and I appreciate it, the story of the flood is so much more complex. When you go back to read it again as adults, there's so much there. We could probably spend a couple weeks on it. But today I want to hear this story from the framework that we've been talking about the last few weeks. And that's this idea that because Jesus is alive, he rose again from the dead, we have this new life in him, this abundant life. And what is this abundant life, the good life that God wants us to live? What does it look like, and how can we get a picture of that from the life of Noah? What can we learn from that, from him? And one of the things I want to begin with is that the abundant life is one in which we are empathetic with the heart of God. One in which we're empathetic with the heart of God. We read in there that Noah was one who walked with God. He walked with God. And I think on these walks that Noah had with God, along these conversations, God not only conveyed to Noah his plan of what he was going to do, to put an end to all living things on earth, and how he would preserve through Noah and his family and with his help a sampling of all the living creatures on earth. But I believe in these conversations that God had with Noah, that God not only communicated kind of the facts and the figures that needed to be conveyed. So how exactly was Noah going to build the ark? How big was it going to be? Tall, length, width? What would be the details of how to gather all these animals? But in these conversations that God had with Noah, I also believe that there was this kind of conveying of God's heart, is what we read about, of how God had great pain. He was troubled. He was grieved over all the sin that he saw in the world. And so not only the facts and the figures, but the emotion was conveyed to Noah. And I think Noah picked up on that Noah was empathetic with the heart of God. Now, you don't have to read this story this way if you don't want to. If you think Noah was cold and just was doing callously what God called him to do. But I guess I imagine Noah pounding nails on those beams, putting that ark together, and with every pound, his heart pounding as well. With the grief and the anguish that he shared along with God, as he lifted the beams, as he did all of the hard labor. It wasn't so much the labor that wore him out at the end of the day, but it was his heavy heart. It was his heavy heart as he shared with God the grief over how things had come to this point. I believe that Noah empathized with God's heart. I'll have to admit, though, here, just to pause, that I'm not always quite clear on the difference between empathy and sympathy. Do you all get that? Sometimes I get those two words kind of mixed up, and I wasn't quite sure which one to use. Yeah, sure, we'll do this. Turn to your neighbor and define for your neighbor what the difference is between empathy and sympathy. Go, real quick. Do we got it? You got it all figured out, right? You can teach me? Is that laughter because you don't quite got it? I don't know. Like, I always get it a little bit mixed up. So sympathy, I understand, is sympathy is a feeling of pity or sorrow of what someone's experiencing. Sometimes sympathy can have a bit of a condescending kind of characterization to it, sometimes. In its lowest way of understanding, I think, it's a little bit more detached than empathy is. So empathy more, as I understand empathy, is more a feeling with. You feel with someone. You share with them in their pain. And so someone's struggling and hurting. You're sitting there with them, and you're feeling along with them a bit of your pain. That's at least how I understand it. And so what I'm trying to get at here is that the abundant life is one where we're empathetic with the heart of God, that we probably can't begin to encapsulate all the feeling of what God's feeling, but that we begin to open ourselves up to it. We begin to feel along with God what God is feeling. So that makes me wonder, what is God feeling these days? What is the heartbeat of God these days? I'm going to just pause before I give any suggestions. Just think about that in your own minds. What do you think God is feeling these days? The way I read the story, it wasn't just in Noah's day that human beings had every inclination of the human heart was only evil all the time. That wasn't just in Noah's day. That's in our day as well. And so when God looks at the world and he sees that there's so much greed, right? There's so much greed. While people are dying of starvation, okay? While people are dying of starvation, there are people, those of us, we're accumulating more and more stuff for ourselves. What does God feel about that? Or when people are full of lust, they're full of it. It's all about gratifying our own physical desires to the point that people are enslaved to the desires and the satisfaction of others. I don't like to think about it, but what does God feel about that? Or just indifference, that we're full of indifference, an apathy. We know these things are happening, but we kind of shrug our shoulders, and we do very little about it. What does God feel about that? But not only that, but what about some of the positive things? What about when one sinner comes to faith who is lost, and the joy and the rejoicing in heaven of all the angels? How does God feel when one is saved? Or I wonder about God's enduring patience. How God feels his patience as we continually mess up. I mess up all the time. I make mistakes all the time. And how God is patient. He's patient. Yet still, the abundant life with God is one in which we begin to feel along with God. We feel a bit of his patience. We feel God's, yes, holy condemnation of sin. Not in judgment of others, but in deep sorrow and grief over sin and the brokenness of the world. We begin to feel a bit of that. We begin to feel God's love We feel God's love for his creation, God's joy. The abundant life in God taps into all of this. And how do we grow in our ability to do this? How do we grow in our ability to be empathetic with God's heart? What do? We do what Noah did, right? Noah walked with God. He walked with God. We spend time in the presence of God, and as we spend time in the presence of God, we begin to feel our heartbeats begin beating in rhythm with God's. So this brings me to my next point, because I think that's scary. I think to open ourselves up to what God is feeling is scary. It's kind of adventurous as well. And the abundant life is a life of adventure. Have I ever told you a story about a couple college friends of mine? They, a couple years after college, they had this old beater car. I can't remember. It was this little tiny thing. It had, I don't know how many hundreds of thousand miles on it. It had been worn down quite a bit. But they had this old beater car, and my friend who owned the car got this idea. He wanted one last hurrah with this car. So he and the friends, they took the car, and without a map in hand, they started driving south. And their plan was they took enough money with them to fly home. Okay? They had enough money with them, they could fly home. This was a one-way trip. And they were going to drive down south as far as they could, as far as the car would take them, without a map in hand, just keep going south. This adventure that they went on. I think they got near Panama. And they had all of these stories, I mean, hours and hours of boredom, driving over incredible terrain. I think at one point some guy helped them fix the car with little scraps that he had on hand. They had incredible stories to share. But it was this adventure that they went on. And that's just a little bit of what I think it might have been like for Noah. Yeah, he had some instructions on this ark. It was going to be this long and this wide and this high. But you and I both well know, when you start a construction project, right, even if you've got design, a design laid out, how is it going to unfold? You know, what kind of challenges are you going to face? Any of you ever remodel a house project? You remodel a house project and you uncover, oh, there's like electrical problems, plumbing problems, we're going to have to move this. And before you know it, your bathroom project has become your living room project and your kitchen project and your whole house is being remodeled. And where does it end? Right? It's this adventure. Or you have a child. This baby enters your world and you realize, I'm not quite sure how to hold this thing or how to change its diaper. Or what do I feed it, he or she, right? But you realize that this is an adventure, and you're learning as you're going, as things are unfolding. I just think that's what the abundant life of faith in God is like. You know, Noah had to figure these things out as he obeyed and trusted and set to the task that God set out for him. I think this is true of our life of faith, that God invites us into this exciting adventure. It's not just a let's punch our ticket to heaven and wait here until we go. No, that God has invited us to this abundant, adventurous life, a life with purpose, a life with work to be done. God has work for us to do. Go into all the nations, right? Make disciples, baptize, teach them to obey everything I commanded you. But also try to broaden your idea of the work that God calls us to do. God calls us to do this work, to be adventurous, to have creativity and freedom in the work that he's called us to do. And so for some of us, the work that we're called to do is, to be a farmer and to care for the earth, to tend it, to be a teacher and to teach the students, to be a salesman and have relationships with those that we work with. The work that we're called to do, it's how do we do it? How do we begin to set out this work? It's incredibly exciting and free to be on this adventure with God. And this is what the abundant life, I think, looks like. And then finally, the abundant life is a life of worship. It's a life of worship. We didn't read this part of the story, but when Noah gets off the boat, off the ark, and all the animals, they come out, I think it's in chapter 8, it says that immediately the first thing Noah did is he set up an altar to the Lord. I think if I would have been Noah, I'd have come off, I would have kissed the ground. I'd have kissed the ground as I came off of that ark. But I would have worshipped. It's natural at that time. Thank you, God, for bringing me through this. But this wasn't the first time Noah worshipped God. Noah worshipped God with all of his life. All of his life. What did it say? That Noah did everything the Lord had commanded him to do. That's worship. This life of adventure, the work that we're called to do, not just what we do on Sundays when we sing songs, sometimes silly songs. We sing and we pray and we give of our offerings. It's not just what we do in here. It's all of our lives, Monday through Sunday. Sunday through Monday, you know, however you want to say it. It's all of our lives. All that we do is a life of worship. And Noah, what did he do? Everything that God commanded him to do, he did it. He was obedient. And that's what the abundant life looks like. We submit ourselves. We say, yes, God, you said I'd do it, and I'm going to do it. So I'm not going to give you like some inspiring story about this. What does God command you to do? Do it. Do it. The catchphrase is get her done and just do it ought to be resembling of Christians. What God says to do, we do. God commands it, we follow through, plain and simple. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this story, faithfulness of Noah, and we thank you for this abundant life that we have in you, Jesus. We thank you that you have done such great things for us, Lord God, and God, we pray that our lives would be full, that we would be full of what you feel, God, of your heartache over the world and your condition and your concern for it, that we would share in your grief and your sorrow over sin, that we would share in your love, in your mercy, that we would share in your joy. God, we pray that we would join you in the work that you were calling us to do, to bring your kingdom here in this place on earth as it is in heaven, God. That's what we pray. And we pray that our hands and our feet would be quickened to do this work as well. So whatever it is you've called each of us to do, that we might do it, and we might do it as a life of worship and gratitude and thanks and praise for you, God, because you are good. Your love endures forever. So we worship you today. We thank you, God, for your hand of provision in our lives, especially today as we think of our graduates. We thank you for your continued hand of provision in their lives, for all of our students as the year of education is coming to a close, for our students, for the teachers that teach them. God, we thank you for the ways that you work through education, for the quickening of our minds, God, that you give us intellect. God, we thank you for all the gifts that you pour out to us. Lord, we thank you for your provision in our lives, for moments like when Nathaniel had his fall this week, and we pray to you, and we thank you that you are good and that you hear our prayers. God, we thank you for the health that you give us. We pray for those that are sick and those that are struggling. And God, we pray that we would be empathetic with them, that we would sit with those who are sick. We would grieve with those who are grieving. We would rejoice with those who are rejoicing. God, we would join with the needs of the world around us. So, Lord, we lift up the concerns of our hearts for those that have needs. Lord, we lift them up to you. And we trust that you love and you care for us and you already want to answer from heaven. And so, Lord, we bow before you and we worship you this morning. We want to worship you with all of our lives. So in this moment, as we are about to receive the offering this morning, as we give of our gifts, God, we pray that you would bless that. God, that you would bless the work of our hands so that we could give to those in need. God, that our hearts would be overflowing with joy as we give and as we serve you. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. We worship you this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, before we lead in to our offering this morning, I do want to just say one direct word to Chantel and give you a little bit of love, attention. Although the word I'm going to say to you, Chantel, is more a word for all of us. That second point I had on there, the abundant life is a life of adventure. I think a lot of us feel for our youth when they graduate from high school and they go on, we have this, I don't know, fear, anxiety, excitement for them. You know, it's this next stage of life, this next step, and how's it going to unfold for them? And we have prayers for you, and we want to, see the very best for you. It's this life and adventure. But to be honest with you, Chantel, that's for all of us. That life of adventure, it's not just college, getting married, if that be, or having kids or whatever. It's a life of adventure for all of us. And to be honest with you, sometimes we stop living that life as adults, don't we? And sometimes we live our life of adventure through our young people. But all of us have this exciting life of adventure of faith, where we get to live this incredible, exciting life with God. And we are excited for you, and we do pray for you, and we uplift you, and want to see the very best for you in this next step. But we do this along with you. You ought to be mimicking the same courage of all of us living for God every day of our lives. We're with you. So I want to just say a prayer for you and for our graduates and as we prepare for the offering too, but just I want to pray for you. God, we thank you for Chantel. We thank you for your hand upon her over these years, and we thank you for this next step of her life and the adventure that awaits her. And she doesn't know what that's all going to be like, and that's part of the excitement, God, because she knows that you're with her, and we're with her, Lord. And we want to show our support, our love, our concern for her and all our graduates. And Lord, we lift them up to you. We leave them in your hands, but we also want to support them with our own hands. in the best way possible. And so, God, we thank you. This we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. We'll receive the morning offering at this time. God leads us along. We'll sing all the verses of 696.
Thank you.
that life of adventure is sometimes like that, right? It's not always easy, is it? But God gives a song, and God is with us. God leads us along. He promises never to leave us, forsake us. And that's why the life is abundant, because God's with us. So in the path that God is leading you down this week, may God be with you, and may God bless you. So people of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen.